Hey guys, it's Kayla back with another video. So, the topic of today's video is being yourself. Being yourself can be hard, and it's like, aren't I always being myself? And yeah, for sure. But being yourself is like not changing yourself to impress someone else. A lot of people like call me quiet or shy or whatever, but I'm not quiet.
Most quiet, Kayla Day.
I don't talk a lot at school, but if people talk to me and stuff, they'd find out that I'm like really funny and cool and talkative. By the way, I like your shirt a lot. It's like so cool.
What?
I said one more week of eighth grade, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, huh? Okay, so growing up can be a little bit scary and weird.
We will begin to explore these changing bodies of yours. It's gonna be lit. Don't hold back,
I wanna break free. As always, make sure to share and subscribe to my channel, Gucci.
I think you're so cool. Maybe you just need to put yourself out there a little.
I'm gonna stop eating with you if you keep doing this.
You said I could say one thing.
I'm really like nervous all the time. I try really hard not to feel that way.
But you just need to face your fears and let people know they're really you.
Just grab my phone, how to charge it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I charge it too, but my phone, I...
Just because things are happening right now doesn't mean they're always gonna happen.
What was in there?
Just sort of my hopes and dreams.
Right.
I was a complete mess when I was your age.
Really?
Eighth grade is the worst.
You never know what's next, and that's what makes things exciting and scary and fun.
When did you get Snapchat? What grade?
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade? What? Yo, see?
Eighth Grade, the movie. By the way, it's available on Amazon starting this week, so you can do that. Today is the 150th anniversary of the publication of Little Women. So I wanted to read you a quote from Amy March, who was 12 years old in the book Little Women, before we get started. Quote, "Because they are mean is no reason why I should be. I hate such things, and though I think I have the right to be hurt, I don't intend to show it." An eighth grader, 150 years ago, Amy March. For 25 years now, my husband and I have lived within walking distance of a middle school. And the students whose parents refuse to drive them, not many, judging from the congestion and double parking in our neighborhood 9 months a year, can be easily seen slowly sauntering towards the entrance or running to beat the bell. Mostly in packs, the boys in shorts, even in the chilliest January mornings, bantering and jostling. A few stone-faced loners, stragglers plugged into their earbuds and their smartphones. But whether sullen or smiling, when my husband and I take our daily dog walk past them and say, "Hey, hey," it's rare that they make eye contact, let alone say hey back. For years, my husband and I had the house closest to the middle school and the high school. And so every day on their way back from school, the middle school boys and the high school boys would go to our house for cookies. For cookies. I know I don't look like a cookie lady, but I actually was a cookie lady. And most of the time, it didn't matter if our son Ben was home or not, by the way. They'd just come on in. Sometimes they say, "Hey, Rev Keller." Most of the time not. They would just get the cookies. So I've had personal experience for many years now of middle school boys having cookies at my house and saying nothing. Nothing. It's as if there's an invisible fence, like the electric ones that people install in their front yards to keep their dogs in, keeping those preteens and all adults apart from each other. These middle schools checked out, in my opinion. My opinion, even unfriendly. Not the same at all for my neighbor around the corner, who's a just retired sixth grade counselor, who must have worked in that same middle school, that's the schools we call schools that house 6th to 8th graders, for 2 decades or longer. She and I sat on a porch one afternoon recently, maybe the second week of classes, chatting about middle schoolers, and her eyes would light up when she talked about them. And even when she saw a stray middle school boy walk past us way too early for dismissal, she just wondered aloud affectionately about why he happened to be out on the street. "Oh, maybe he's homeschooled this year," she said generously. When I commented that I find these middle school kids inscrutable, she chided me gently, telling me that looks are deceiving, that their level of engagement is actually quite rich, their minds and their passions, their awareness of what is happening in the world. She seems to love middle school. I'm going to say it again. She seems to love middle schoolers, and bless all those teachers and counselors and cafeteria workers and crossing guards who work with them. Thank you, Eric. Let's give him another applause. Not only did she love her work and tells me she feels more than a tiny pang of sadness that school has started and she's no longer there, she seems to have, now this is amazing, liked, if not loved, her own middle school days. She actually has attended a few 8th grade reunions of her own class. Wow, you said. Now, I couldn't possibly imagine. In fact, I have rarely thought about my junior high school years, and that was 7th to 9th grade. But somehow the release this summer of the film 8th Grade was a Sundance Film Festival winner appealed to me. While a slapstick youth audience movie mostly aimed at adolescent boys a couple of years ago called Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life was up until a Netflix download last week a definite must-miss for me, this year's story of a girl, as you saw, in her last week of middle school was appealing to me as a grown-up hoping for a glimpse of this new generation of young women and perhaps an honest revisit for me into that previously pretty much written out period of my own developmental history. As one critic describes the movie, 13-year-old Kayla, quote, endures the tidal wave of contemporary suburban early adolescence as she makes her way painfully through the last week of middle school. In an effort to appear like she has it together, Kayla posts motivational videos for her fellow middle schoolers on YouTube, all about, you saw a glimpse of it, confidence and self-image, and wouldn't you know, gets almost no views at all. Despite her upbeat advice to others, she struggles socially, and the only award she is destined to receive at graduation, you saw that, is for what? Being the quietest kid in her class. Without being a spoiler, the movie invites us into her world where this 14-year-old experiences disconnect, awkwardness, and embarrassment, has unrequited 14-year-old crushes, is shunned by the mean girls, and is sexually pressured. Not to be a total spoiler, but this is the traumatic turning point for her in the movie.
Truth or dare?
What?
Oh, Truth or Dare. Have you ever played Truth or Dare?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah? Yeah. Truth or Dare?
Truth.
Okay. How far have you gone?
How far have I gone?
Yeah, like, was it first base?
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I don't know, do you mean like, you know, all time or like more recent or?
Let's go all time.
Well, okay then. I don't know, I'd say like, you know, third base.
Whoa.
Yeah, sorry, just kidding. I meant second, you know. I get second and third like mixed up a lot, you know.
You're funny. I mean, it's okay if you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
You wanna ask me?
Okay, how far have you...
Oh, no, just there.
Oh, right.
Like it starts there, and then...
There?
Yeah.
Okay, well, truth or dare?
I think dare.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put this quarter in your mouth.
Ew.
Yeah, sorry, that was it's gross.
No, it's...
Okay, well, what do you want to do, you know? You can pick.
We laugh, but it's really painful. And I wanted to show this to you, given what's been going on in the last week in this country. That's a 14-year-old girl being sexually pressured. And our tendency is to laugh with her in an embarrassed kind of way. The kids who are still going through or just on the other side of this middle school period, especially the girls who have been asked to rate the film, which was ironically written and directed by a male, have generally loved it, have pointed to how accurate it is, and therefore how uncomfortable it made them, how exposed, how Kayla's mostly terse and sometimes lashing out, door-slamming conversations with her single dad are dead on. How many of you ever had those kind of door-slamming conversations, either with your parents or as a parent? Raise your hand. Yes. Yet ironically, or beyond ironically, because of some four-letter words and slang terms in the movie and a few mildly sexual scenes, this movie is R-rated, meaning that a 13-year-old is unable to buy their own ticket, unaccompanied by an adult, for a movie which has everything to do about and for them. They're not allowed to go by themselves. Many of the reviewers who have long since passed through this stage felt more than uncomfortable after leaving the darkened movie theater. One said that the movie brought back for him, in a good way, artistically, the unwanted memories he has of the eighth grade, something he is still trying to forget in therapy, he wrote. Critic Peter DeBrusch called eighth grade, quote, the compulsory military service of American adolescence. The pimple-infested, body-odorous, hair in uncomfortable places, minimum security prison every girl must endure. A real-life horror movie guaranteed to haunt you for the rest of your life. Now that's a bit extreme, don't you think? So a few minutes indulge me about my middle school, junior high school experience. Jordan Junior High School in Palo Alto, California, was certainly grayly institutional after the small neighborhood schools I had attended leading up to the seventh grade. The early 1960s building, which now when I went back and looked at it as an adult, wasn't so big, it was modestly sized, seemed huge with asbestos ceilings. How many of you remember those? Hugely, loudly ticking wall clocks, ticking the hours that I could get out of that class and onto another. Long rows of lockers, including my untidy one, whose combination I could never master. A large athletic field I would walk to the very edge of to commune with my fellow outliers and the seagulls. Now, women, you're the ones who will understand this. The gym with the ugly blue regulation bloomers. And for me, the more dreaded trampoline. You could get out of obligatory jumping if you had your period, which I often did twice, three times a month. The food choices, all of them poor. Chips from the machine, vanilla shakes from the Shake Shack, chocolate cake and nothing else on the gravy pool lunch plate. Those knots of mean girls, the boys who ignored me, the clumsy searching for my own cluster, not really successful until high school and beyond. Red Cross student ambassador, the Girl Scouts, Bad, dark poetry. My history teacher makes a sign for my desk with words like morose or happy and tells me to please let him know what my mood was every day. I hope some of you will appreciate this. I refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance in my homeroom, and I am periodically given in-class detention, or at least threatened with it. And beyond those walls, on my pink transistor radio, Dion and Del Shannon and Michael Row the Boat Ashore and The Lion Sleeps Tonight, in the daily newspaper on Walter Cronkite, JFK's inauguration, the first human in space, five horrific jet plane crashes in 1 year, the Bay of Pigs invasion, with the Cuban Missile Crisis straight ahead in the ninth grade. In my own family, my husband went to a K-8 where at least his cohort was on the top of the heap in the eighth grade, so to speak. And he told me no worse than any other completely alienating year for him as one of the few Jewish kids in that part of Phoenix, Arizona. Our adult children, ranging from calling their middle school years very dramatically in a text, the worst ever, all caps, too uncomfortable and obsessive, too insecure and angsty, but no more or less than any other middle schooler, as they all swam the same turbulent waters through serious family illnesses, the tail end of my divorce, the presidencies of both Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton, the war in Bosnia, and for my youngest child, Columbine. This is what they recall. For you, I'm sure there were other markers in the wider world. And for too many of us, the perpetual stress of racism inside and outside of the school walls. Parent and author blogger Michelle Icker reminds us that we bring this middle school baggage, our own middle school baggage, to our attitudes about and towards today's middle schoolers, understandably. When she surveyed parents of third and fourth and fifth graders, a quarter of them said that they had definitely had bad experiences. 30% said mostly they had good experiences, and the rest both good and bad. But when she asked adults, ask yourself this question, if you could be magically transported through time back to ages 12 or 13 or 14, would you do it? Would you do it? No way in hell, they told her, not for $1 million. Those daunting, discombobulated places, the people we were. Why is it that the stuff that happened to us in middle school sticks, making it hard to see middle schoolers as they are now? The positives as well as the maddening and the puzzling. What they offer us in our families and in our communities that we might not see, or more important, ever allow ourselves to learn from, who we can ignore or greatly misunderstand, or instead see through the eyes of those like Eric who work with them and research them, like Michelle Ickard, who says what she has come to love about these young people is, yes, they are baffling, and yes, they are frustrating, but they are also impressive and inspirational. Because behind the grumpiness and the bravado is where their adult identity formation is taking shape. Identity formation, which we're all, I think, still in the midst of, but there for the first time, they realize that they are more than their parents, more than the adults who have raised them, that they are themselves and they need to be that way for the rest of their lives. This identity is taking shape, the sorting out, the testing of who they are, apart from these parenting figures and the other adults in their lives. And at the same time, they are surrounded by peers with the exact same exhausting task. That only half-developed person veering from toddler regression to a preview of our fully realized selves, which, guess what it is for boys? Fully realized identity. Throw it out. 28. Girls, 22. That person who, when they're going through this identity formation period, can feel fake, don't we all sometimes? or changing, learning to be different around different people. Don't we all do that sometimes? That self-conscious, everyone is looking at me kid, like we all are sometimes, with almost no way to filter that mean remark or that eye roll or the giggle that helps form the answer, accurately or not, of who we will become, who they will become. A time of wanting to be seen for who they truly are, fighting sometimes, literally fighting for dignity and respect. So I wanted to talk to middle school boys. That's a task. There was a neighborhood party at the end of our block a few weeks ago. It was a delayed 4th of July party to August 25th, so the school families could come back for vacation. So we had our 4th of July on August 25th, and there was a table full of middle school boys. So I waded into that table, me. I said, "Hi, I'm Reverend Keller." Well, I didn't care. Remember, they didn't care when I offered cookies. They didn't care. "Reverend Keller, and I am doing a sermon on middle school, and I just want to know, like, so how's middle school going for you?" So three or four of the boys said, "Goodbye." And one of the boys said, "Well, if you don't count that there's a fight every single day, we're all doing fine." So it's that fighting that boys do, the fighting that boys do. And what do? The girls turn on each other. The boys are out of control. They literally are out of control in their brains. I mean, they literally are. That critical thinking, impulse control part of your brain is in so much distress and under construction in middle school, it might as well not be there at all. Girls tend to want to be perfect. And since they can't be perfect, they turn on each other. If they see imperfection, they rarely fight, but they'll turn on each other. And that's what's happening for them. So this, because the decision-making and critical thinking, long-term consequences, and impulse control part of their brains is still under construction, the emotional control center kicks into highest gear. That's the time in our lives where our emotions are in highest gear, causing both disproportionate upset about seemingly small situations, hypersensitivity to real or perceived slights and frustrations, short-lived romances and one-way crushes. Now that's all the negative when your emotions are like that. And on the amazing upside, a deep empathy, an ability to emotionally connect, what can be described as a middle schooler's superpower, a disproportionate response to social injustices. So they are our natural justice makers, middle school kids. As adults who have lived past middle school, we can help them through these years by encouraging them to take risks. Ironically, you think you don't want to encourage them to take risks? No, we want them to take risks in the right direction. Do something cool. Make good friends and go on your own quest. Yeah, we have advice for these adults in formation, but if we listen into them and we really see them, they have much to tell us and much we can learn from them as well. As Kayla advises in the movie Eighth Grade, before you can be brave, you have to be afraid. Advice from a middle schooler. Put yourself out there. Let people see the real you. Advice from a middle schooler. You never know what's next, and that's what makes things exciting and scary and fun. Advice from a middle schooler. Advice from middle schoolers. In this time of mind-numbing thoughtlessness and truthlessness, these middle schoolers can model for us the sheer emotional force of their justice-seeking and their waves of compassion. I heard them in my head this week when I was watching what was going on in the Senate. "It's just not fair," they would say. "It's just not right," they would say. "It is just not okay," they would say. "Listen to us," they would say. Listen to what they're telling us. In the words of the Hebrew prophets, "Justice, justice shall you follow, that you may live." This is what middle schoolers teach us. May it be so.